everybody. Glad to have you all here this morning. I have to apologize about the time and everything. I'm still on vacation, so just give me a little bit of grace. We all stand in worship with us this morning. Thank you and praise you. The battle is not mine. The battle is yours, because I don't have any strength yet what the strength you give me through your son, Jesus Christ, God. And I thank you and praise you for his shed blood, God. And I thank you that you have called me unto you, Lord. And Lord, I ask your anointing to be upon our worship service, upon the word, and upon the testimony that's going to be had this morning, God. I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon everything that we do here, God, and we bring glory and honor to you. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
You can remain standing very quickly. If the announcements, don't forget to read the insert. We have some needs in our food pantry. Also, in your bulletin, the Seed Line Ministry, that's where we go down and put in Moundsville to put the Bibles together to be shipped across foreign somewhere. I don't know where they're going this year. Does anybody know where they're going this year? You know? I don't know where they're going this year either. But we'll have 20,000 Bibles that we will put together. So that's usually done by noon. Yeah, right. I mean, it's amazing how they do that. But if you're wanting to go to that, that's in Moundsville. The sign-up sheet is above the water cooler. We'd like to know who all's going. So please sign that up. Also, don't forget the church picnic on the 17th at 11 o'clock. Be there at Royal Psalm Rhapsody on the 23rd. Now, very important, turn your bulletin over on the back. The very last thing on the bottom of looking ahead, it says 9-3, church member business meeting. That is going to be a week early than normal because I will be out of town the week that we're supposed to have the business meeting, and it is the business meeting where we will institute all of our new officers and people in. So I want to be here for that, so in case there's any questions. So 9-3, mark your calendar, is the business meeting. It's early.
All right. Thank you, Larry. I searched the world, it couldn't fail me. Granted to praise, treasures of faith never return. That's 6-8. I swear it is. our God can do all kinds of things that we cannot do. And all he asks us to do is just stand and praise him. Takes all fear away. Amen. Amen.
Tells us that we have hope, not death, but hope, Lord, that we have a great hope in you, and that our future is secure in you. Therefore, we can live in confidence in knowing, Lord, that this is not the end, but it's only just the beginning. As it was said in Sunday school, eternity is for a long time. And so, Lord, it is for a very long time. And so, Lord, may we always be focused on you, focused on what you have for us in our lives, that we would be focused on the calling that you placed upon our lives, and Lord, that we would live that calling out to bring others to the cross, that they too can say thank you for the love that you expressed to us there. So Lord, we want just to take a moment today to tell you that we love you, and we thank you for all that you do in our lives. Lord, there are many who need a very special blessing today. Lord, that you know the desires of their heart. You know the needs of their bodies. And Lord, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, Lord, we pray that you would grant those things. And Lord, there are many out today traveling on vacations and wherever. Lord, we ask you a very special blessing upon them, or they are away. And Lord, that you will bring them back to us safely. Lord, as always, as we come to the time of worship, Lord, that as we look at your word, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored. Lord, please don't allow me to say anything that is not true or right of you. And if it is going to come out of my mouth, I pray that you silence it and not allow it to be so. But Lord, as we come to time of worship, of the taking up of our tithes, of your tithes and our offerings, Lord, that you would bless both the gift and the giver. And that, Lord, you will multiply that which comes in, that the gospel can go out into the utter ends of the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, good morning. How are you all this morning? Good, good, good. Somebody asked me how I was doing today, and I gave them the Randy Ryan response. I said, absolutely marvelous, but I'm getting better. And people often ask me, how are you getting better than marvelous? I said, I have a good word that Jesus is coming back. It's got to be better than this. Amen? Amen. Just a couple things I just wanted to point out that... I know this family doesn't like to be pointed out, but so I'm going to pay for it. But there's a lot going on with the McMaster's family right now. There are two of their sons are home from the military. Colin, which is the back one, and Lucas is the front one. I got them mixed up last week. But they're both home, and so they'll be leaving. We won't see them after this. After today, they'll be going back. And their other son is somewhere in the world on a boat. The Mediterranean somewhere. He's in the Navy, so they're not allowed to disclose that. So anyways, I want you to pray for them, and I hope remind me at the end, I want to pray for them as they go back. But something else is going on in your family, and I
don't know if she's not home.
She's not home. Well, where's Rochelle at?
She left.
She left. For good?
I hope.
You hope? Well, I noticed Cody's gone too.
I'll bet they're together.
You think they're together?
Maybe.
Somewhere together in this world?
Maybe.
Cody and Rochelle got married. Hence, the boys are home. So, yeah, they got married on Friday. Very private, very small ceremony. And they are married and they are on their honeymoon. And we want to pray for them. And I got to tell you, they are in love, and so just pray for them. But it's a great time in this family, and so we want to rejoice with them. Amen, amen. All right, so I want to talk to you today about missions. We just came back from our mission trip, and as you all know, our church is big on missions. Amen. Not only do we financially support missions, I mean, we give thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars out of this church in missions. In fact, it wasn't so long ago somebody had made a mention about how much money we give to this and how much we give to that, and that we should give more money to missions. So my wife and I started looking and got talking with the other financial people in the church. And do you know what? This church, I think it was like 85%. It was something really high that we give into missions in one way or another. And I truly, honestly believe that that's the reason for the success in this church. It's not me, it's we, right? And I think that it has a big part to do with the success of this church. So our church is definitely big on missions. We financially support missions, but we also get physically involved in missions. We support missionaries through different mission offerings that we give, but we also go on missions. We support and do missions. And for some in this body, they have gone into the foreign mission field before, and they've served there for usually a week or so. People like Amy Williams. Amy, where are you at? Hold your hand up. Amy and Cynthia up here have both gone to the foreign. They've gone to Haiti on the foreign mission field. And also Matt and Deanna have gone on the foreign mission. Where did you guys go? Puerto Rico, and it's not the Puerto Rico you're thinking about, trust me. They went to Puerto Rico on missions. But we also have a mission team, a group that started with myself as a youth pastor. I was Richie, and at that point we started a team, and some of our youth leaders and teenagers, right? And we would go and we would do essentially random acts of kindness. Mike, you're trying to forget it, but it's not going to work. Mike was one of the leaders with me in the youth ministry. Him and Carol were my youth leaders with me. We went on mission trips, and we did all kinds of things like putting up a mailbox. That was big, wasn't it? Cleaning a city park or two in our lifetime, which was no small feat. I can remember that's back when Kara and Johnny and Adrian and Sierra, we had a power brush probably in out of this one city park that was bigger than three times this room. Remember that, Mike? Yeah. So we did things like that, small construction projects, like build some little partitions for Sunday school rooms and things like that. That's how we started. But that team that we started in the year 2000 with a few adults and a bunch of teenagers has evolved into what we have now, right? Which this year was a team of 40 individuals, and we have gone from the random acts of kindness to actually large-scale construction projects. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says that there are those who plant and those who water, and what he is speaking of is that we all, every one of us, have a part in building the kingdom of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building," right? This means we are all fellow workers with God, for God. Some are called to preach, some are called to evangelize, and some are called to build. And that's our niche here at Open Door. I believe that our mission team is good at preparing the field, preparing a place. It would be like this in a farmer's term, we till the field. We go out and furrow it and till it and prepare the ground for the planter to come along behind us to plant, right? So that's kind of what we do, where seeds will one day will be planted and watered and nourished and grown. You see, our role is just one part of building the kingdom. So with that said, I want to take a little time today, and I want to keep us connected in missions, and because you all support us very generously, by the way. You support us very generously. So I want to take a little time today and share with the church some of our mission trip from last week. It was last week. And like I said, personally, I have been involved in missions for 25 years now. I'm telling you my age. 25 years now. And understand, mission trips, this is going to be news for some of you that go on the mission trips. Mission trips are hard work, right? We generally work 12 to 16 hours a day, breaking only for meals. Seriously. It's hard. It is usually hot. This past trip, we were really pushed, or a lot pushed, probably more than any other trip because of the volume of work that needed to be completed. But yet, I love it. I absolutely love it. I have this term. I says, anybody that comes on a mission trip for the first time, I'll say, it's something that you hate to love. And you do. It's because it's work and it's hard. And so, but you love it. And I think I can speak for others in the group that we love it. We all love it. Even though by Thursday, yeah, the ones that are laughing are on a mission trip. by Thursday of each mission trip we ever do, many are cranky. But yet, year after year, the same group of people are ready to go. They sign up. I'm going again, right? In fact, some have already told me that they've got their time off reserved for next year already. So why do we love it? That's the question. Why do we love it? Why do we love working harder than most of us do in our real lives for free? Right? Why would we love it? Well, for myself, it all depends on how you view free. I do it so that the gospel can be shared. And the kingdom of God can be filled with souls for those who have been impacted by the gospel through what we do. Missions is living out the gospel towards others. That's missions. Missions is living out the gospel towards others. Missions is loving God. Missions is loving others. And missions is serving both. And if you truly love God, and this is the truth, if you truly love God, then you will love other people. And in that love, we want everyone that we know and don't know, right? Everyone in that love, everyone that we know and everyone we don't know, to experience the love of God and to spend eternity with Christ, because hell is real. I mean, we hear about it a lot, but, Steve started a new Sunday school class of, what's heaven like? I think that's in the title, of what's heaven like? But we don't really grasp it. And when we talk about hell, sometimes, oh, yeah, hell, yeah. But we don't really grasp how real hell is and what it's going to be like. And I've said to you all 100 or more times, people don't care how much or what you know until they know how much you care. Why? Why is that? Because caring is at the center of love. And this is the key to fellowship, worship, and missions. We must care for one another, right? It's imperative. Christ tells us, the Word tells us to do that. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10 says this, which was used in our devotions many times during the week we were on our mission trip, which is also my life verse, by the way. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says it this way, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do. Say it. Let us do. Right? To all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let me ask you a question. How much more do you think could we achieve for the missions of the gospel? How much more do you think we can achieve for the missions of the gospel if every believer cared about and esteemed others higher than themselves? How much greater could we serve, right? And how are we to do that? Well, notice verse 9 and 10. Look, how can we esteem others higher than ourselves? Look at verses 9 and 10. Both say what? By doing good towards others. That's the key. You know what this means? This means we are to live out our mission for Christ by using the gifts that God gave us. He has equipped us with gifts. Everyone who is saved by grace through Jesus Christ has been equipped with a gift by God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, the word gift that is used there means this, the very special ability given to a believer by God. That's a gift. The very special ability given to a believer by God. Also, I want you to notice that it says what you have received. Now, if you have received it, it had to be given first, right? You didn't have it. So if you received it, you received something. It had to be given to you, right? So, and the meaning here is that if the gift was given first by God to you to be used for God in his purpose. So if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, right? You know who you are. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have a gift. And God gives you that gift to be used for his purpose. Now, can I use it for my own purpose? Absolutely, I can. But the intent that God gave it to you is also to use it for his purpose. And many of us on the mission trip use the gift that God gave us to accomplish our task in St. Albans, West Virginia. That every single person that went, every one of them, every single person that went, used something God gave them to accomplish whatever it was that they were assigned to do. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says, I told you I was going to get the word in, Steve. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8 says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, I saw every one of these gifts. I saw every one of these gifts being used on our mission trip last week. And I would boldly say that everyone on that trip has the gift of serving. Every one of them. From the smallest to the tallest. Because if you were ever to get the opportunity to go on a mission trip, you will see what serving to the nth degree looks like. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 also says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. That means God gives them, right? That there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit God distributes them, God gives them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. We all have different gifts, but we are serving them with to the same God. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And then Paul goes on down and further in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, and he lists some of those gifts that he's talking about. With things like wisdom, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking and interpreting tongues. Now, me personally, this is the biggest thing that I've seen in the spiritual gifts for me that I've seen on the mission trip. I saw wisdom and faith being exhibited. Those were the two greatest gifts. I saw leadership being exhibited. And miracles when we finished things that we never thought we would ever finish. That when they were finished, it was a miracle. Let me just say one thing. The upper room. Miracle. And listen, I could go on and on, right? But the bottom line is, I saw gifts used that will have kingdom purpose and kingdom value. And listen, some think that going on a mission trip to do construction really doesn't impact people for the gospel. Some think that a true mission trip is going into a village somewhere in Africa or somewhere far away, or setting up secret churches in China to tell people who have never heard about Jesus. Those are great, but I will tell you this, that we go and we do construction projects generally at churches preparing the field. Why? So people can gather in that place to hear the gospel so that the seed can be planted. And for churches to grow, that's why we do what we do. We do it for churches to grow and bring more people into their churches, people who do not know Jesus or some who have never heard about Jesus. And for me, whether foreign or local, I see very little difference. You want to know why? Because the goal is the same. We're out there trying to accomplish the same goal, and we all have different gifts. And as long as we are using them, God gets the glory. But if you have a gift that you're not using that God has given you, God gets no glory from that. So as we're, long as we're using these gifts, God gets the glory and we get the reward. I want you to remember that. I talked to one of the new guys that showed up. I said, you understand, I said, you're setting up a kingdom reward. It's an eternal kingdom reward, an eternal payment from God. Because when you use your gifts for God's purpose, you will earn more in the eternal kingdom. Let me say this again. When you use your gifts for God's purpose, you will earn more in the eternal kingdom, which is a long time, right, John? It's a long time, right? You will earn more in the eternal kingdom than you will ever think about earning on this earth in your lifetime. I mean, I want you to think about that. What a payment, right? And listen, it's really twofold. Because when you use your gift to serve Christ, you minister to others. When Christ came, who did he minister to? Others, right? And it, God equipped him to do that, right? I mean, when you use your gifts, you're ministering to others. And so here's two things. You strengthen the church. When you use your gifts, you build up the church, you strengthen the church, you build up and strengthen other believers. And I do believe that we did that last week. And I want to tell you how important I think, and in a very powerful way, in just one way, I can't go on and on. But let me tell you, I believe Pastor Nathan and his wife, Catherine, were encouraged and strengthened. Do you want to know why? Because he told me. He sat me down. He says, you don't understand what you're doing. He says, I didn't know that people cared like this. And I said, well, there are. He says, I'd have never dreamed whenever you guys came in here and said, oh, we don't know if there's enough work. He said, I thought these people were crazy. He says, listen, I don't even know how to thank you. And I said, this is what I want you to do. And I think, and this team doesn't know I told him this. I said, we don't want payment for us. We just want you to pay it forward. We want you to help somebody else who has a need. I said, that's what we want. That's what we want you to do, that you look and see someone else. So look, they were strengthened. They were encouraged. And I think it's really helped them to look forward in what's lying ahead. And they're going to launch on August 24th, right? He will be at our church picnic. Pastor Nathan and his wife will be at our church picnic on the 17th, all right? And here's number two. When you use your gifts for Christ, you become a witness to others and you minister to others. Now, how many trips did you make to Lowe's? How many trips did you make to Lowe's?
How many trips did you make to Lowe's?
How many trips did you make to Home Depot? Only two Home Depot. Listen, people start taking notice that we're there, and what are you doing? What's going on? Well, we're here on a mission trip. Oh, really? Where's it at? Well, you know what? I just lived down the street from that church. They're going to reopen that church? Yeah, I said, you should go to that. You know what? I'll have to check that out. How about the lady at the front desk at the hotel? It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, why are you doing it? So it's on the other question. But listen, we got to minister people. We got to start helping them plant the seed by inviting people. So when you use your gifts the way you're supposed to, you will minister to others. And number three, and I know I only said twofold, but I got to be in threes, right? But number three is this: when you use your gifts, we prepare the field for the seed that one day will be planted. We are the tillers, right? That in using your gifts for Christ impacts the kingdom. I want you to think about that for a second. God gave you something to serve him that will impact the eternal kingdom of God. Wrap your head around that for a second. That your gift that you use for Christ impacts the kingdom through others coming to salvation. You say, well, I'm not a good evangelist. I'm not good telling people. I'm not good at knocking on doors. I'm not good at this. Look, you may not be good at that, but you can be good at other ways to use your gift that will impact others to salvation to Jesus Christ. In short, it's sharing the gospel through action. That's the only thing I could come up with. In short, it's sharing the gospel through action based on love and caring. You know, oftentimes when we are at the mission site, people ask, undoubtedly, somewhere that we go or we're around or people come around and see us at the site, and they'll come and people ask, why do you do this? Actually, some people here ask, why do you do this? Right? And I mostly reply this. I do this so that others can hear about the love of Jesus. And they'll look at me and they'll say, well, you must really love him a lot. And I'll say, not as much as he loves me. Amen? Not as much as he loves you. But what these people are saying is this. What you're doing really shows, it really proves that you love Jesus, or you wouldn't be doing this. Because most of the mission jobs that we do, like I said, are dirty, they're difficult, they're hot, and they're heavy, and they're long. The upper room. And you know what? They're right. They are absolutely 100% right. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't love Jesus. I wouldn't do it at all if I didn't love Jesus. Actually, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if I didn't love Jesus. Amen? But I do love Jesus, and I do care about people. And so I serve the Lord through serving others. The call to go. The call to love others. Through loving Christ. And that's why we serve others. Amen? Matthew chapter 10, verse 42 says this, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward. Understand this. You may not be able to hang drywall or finish drywall or put up suspended ceilings. You may not be able to do that to serve others. But you can offer a refreshment. You can offer a refreshment. And you can serve the Lord well in doing it. So, the bottom line is this. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. That is why I do what I do, and that's why any of us who serve, serve. Amen? I don't care what you're doing. If you're serving, the reason that you serve is because you love Jesus. Amen? And the reward, the reward is just the icing on the cake. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, Peter said this, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. That's about Thursday for sure. They should do so with the strength God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Did you notice anything in that verse? I don't serve you in my own strength. And you don't serve others in this church on your own strength. I don't serve God in my own strength. You don't serve God in your own strength. It says, do so with the strength that God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And to us who serve and give all the glory to God, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Love God, love others. So that's why I do missions, and that's why all of us do missions, for the greater good of making a way for others to know Christ or to know him better. Amen. That's the reason we do it, right? And now I want to ask you something. If you went on a mission trip, I want you to please stand up. If you went on a mission trip, please stand up. Now, there's a lot missing because they're out on vacation. Dawn and Pam Lazon went, and Michelle and Cody were not here. There's a few actually out. So, but these are the ones, and why am I having them? Do they want to be noticed? They definitely do not want to be noticed. But I want to tell you, you can sit back down. I want to tell you, Open Door, why I had them to stand. I want to tell you this, that not only did they honor Jesus above all on that mission trip, they also honored you. They also honored you in representing our church and also in representing our Lord Jesus Christ. They did it with honor. They did it with pride. Because of Christ and to serve you. And listen, we are blessed to have this team. Oh, we get cranky at times. We get jealous at times. We get this at times. But I'm going to tell you what, this has become a very close-knit group. Amen? Father God, I just thank you, Father, for the blessings you allow us to serve you, Lord. And we just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to do that. So, Lord, we just pray for this church that, Lord, you will bless it. Even beginning now, you will anoint it. And, Lord, that it will be on fire for you and it will reach the community of St. Albans and beyond. And, Lord, so we just ask that you do incredible, great things through that church and through that ministry. Please bless all the hands that are working there and then have worked there, Lord, that you'll bless them. And Lord, we ask that you bless Colin and Kylie and Lucas, Lord, as they will be traveling back to the military, Lord, that you will put a hedge of protection around them and that you will keep them safe. And Lord, that you will bless the union of Cody and Rochelle. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
These are the days of Elijah.
one thing I forgot to address. A couple people had asked me the splash into faith that we had yesterday. We had 23 kids and 9 youth. So I would say that was a success. So we had a great time. In doing that, we set up all the inflatables. We got all of them down but one. We would love for you to help us get it put away before you go home. That's called service in the mission field right out there. Thank you for coming. God bless you. But if you can help us, please stay. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Behold, he comes riding on.